Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's President and CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Trisend, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU Next Gen.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the Nakiso Network here in beautiful Orlando, Florida. And look who we have in the studio lounge, fresh off of their deposits session, are the gentlemen that were on the panel, Forrest Masip. From Flow Network, no, Flow Tracker.
Flow Tracker Analytics,
Flow,
yes.
Every time, oh my gosh, Flow Tracker Analytics. How are you, Boris?
Doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Better now that you're here.
Thank you. Nice to run into you again.
Yeah, literally.
Perfect.
Literally run into each other. So.
Yeah.
And then right next to Boris is Mr. Neil, I forgot your last name.
Stanley.
Neil Stanley,
yep.
From The Core Point. My apologies.
No
How
problem.
Are you, Neil?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Yeah, glad to be here.
How are things way down there on the end of the couch?
I'm hanging in there.
I can barely see you. So, I mean, I know you guys just got out of a session called the deposit roundtable,
yep.
Kind of like the webinar that we did a couple of months ago.
Absolutely.
But before we talk about that, how is the conference going for you guys? Any highlights to share so far?
You know what?
Been a lot going on today.
For me, and I don't know what Neil's experience is, it's the first time on Nakiso, and it has been great to meet so many leaders doing interesting stuff. The CUSOs that are trying to service the industry and to move the everything forward. As a matter of fact, I love that in the main session, it says Nakiso forward. And because I think that is a key word, moving forward, okay. and trying to advance the quality of the work that credit unions and CUSOs are mm-hmm. doing.
Yeah, I think it's a have to.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you're not moving forward, you're going to get left behind. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Neil, how about you? Any highlights for you as well?
You know, I just have enjoyed the networking.
Yeah.
There are so many people here. As Boris said, there's a lot of energy, a lot of thought, and people are looking for ideas. You know, I've gone to a lot of industry events where it's not idea generating. It's more like, well, okay, we're going through the motions. I don't feel like we're going through the motions here. I feel like this is... You know, very much. I had to step out of the last session before our session because we had to get organized.
Yeah.
I didn't want to step out.
Oh, really?
Because they were talking about the things they were looking forward to doing.
Oh, wow.
They hadn't been doing.
Yeah.
What the forward, it was the credit union leaders that were
mm-hmm,
talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled to
see,
walk
I love
away.
Those sessions as yeah. well. Yeah. They're fascinating to hear what the leadership is talking about and what their concerns are and all the challenges. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are always good ones.
One of the speakers talked about she loves the fact that they are there for the good times, but we need to be there for the hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And she articulated, and you don't see that in a lot of financial industry forums because we want to talk about the positive energy.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
she talked about being a positive influence in a negative environment.
Yes,
and I
like it.
I was impressed.
That's reality check right there,
yeah.
for sure.
I love what you said, Neil. As a matter of fact, at the very end, and I had to step out again because for the same reason, but one of the leaders was asked to talk about, tell me something that you don't have that you wish that it was out there. And he talked about the fact that he called it CRM, and he even acknowledged, I'm not sure if it is a CRM, but I wish there was something out there that would allow me to identify where members are going, what is happening, what is it that, and I wanted to shout from the back, hey, that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Over here. We identify member behavior. We can tell you exactly what they want to do and whatnot. So anyway, it was a funny moment, and I'm going to be looking for his name because I want to introduce myself.
Yeah, you should.
So,
you should.
That's,
perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been classic. I think the crowd would have got a kick out of that for sure. So, all right, let's talk about your session real quick here.
Yes.
So give us a quick overview, because essentially we did a webinar on this a couple months ago.
Yes.
So, but any changes in the messaging this time around, or what's been happening in the deposit realm in our industry, Neil?
I think, Mike, the thing that's happened is the continuation of what the credit unions and bankers thought was abnormal. It continues and continues and continues. continues, and they're starting to realize this is an abnormal. This is going to be the normal.
Okay.
And so we see interest rates rising. The 30-year is back up to 4.75 today. It was as low as 380 something in February.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this rate environment is
going away.
To create a dynamic that the generation that of leaders today, that if they started after the Great Recession as leaders, they have no idea new encounters that they have to deal with. And that's where, you know, we step in and talk about how we need to upgrade the approach, whether it's on the front end in pricing,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in the core engagement, or on the back end tracking all the things and then coming back around and saying these are the adjustments
mm-hmm.
we need to make,
mm-hmm.
which is what Boris specializes in. All of those things are so relevant. And I have a feeling that a lot of credit union managers thought, this is temporary. Now that's
well, I think we were all thinking that about this time last year, right?
Yeah.
So, but no.
Well, I wasn't.
He wasn't.
Except for Neil.
And credit to him. In fact, he published something on LinkedIn that I ended up reposting that talks exactly about that. The difference between the sentiment on the street
mm-hmm.
and what the data is saying.
Yeah,
and and just to echo what you said, I believe that the big change right now is that people are starting to realize we are in the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to stay on the interest rate tack here, but I've heard that this is actually healthy for a business environment is to have your interest rate. So it can go up or it can go down without too much issues going on in the industry. So for
ultimately, agility is the lifeblood of financial institutions.
Right.
If they're not agile, they're going to have trouble. One thing that you might, and we didn't talk about this when we had our conversation, the previous conversation, but I went back and studied since the 50s, the median Fed fund rate, the median, 50% time below, 50% of time above, 4.66.
Oh, really?
That's since the 50s, that's the median.
Wow, wow.
So this, in some ways, it's not that unusual.
Exactly, yeah, for sure, for sure. Lewis?
I would say that it's forcing the industry to go back to banking one-on-one. We are an industry in which the raw material are deposits, and the byproduct is the lending.
Mm-hmm.
So this is forcing the industry to really start to pay attention to deposits, which, by the way, are the foundational product to the relationship with the member. And if you can read the mission statement of almost any credit union, and it's going to tell you we are member focused.
Mm-hmm.
But you ask some people, how are your members behaving? How are they using their deposit account? What is it that is relevant to them? What are the term preferences that they have and whatnot? And really, sometimes it's difficult to get an answer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the worst part is that, well, we don't hear that as much anymore, but when people still tell you, well, I don't have a problem with my deposits. I have enough deposits and whatever. It's not happening too much these days because of the deposit flight and whatnot, but the question is always, okay, tell me about who is bringing you money. Where is it that you're losing money? How much is attrition affecting your portfolio? How much cannibalization is affecting your portfolio? And in particularly in this thing of the lost money, I want to emphasize something that we discussed during the panel, and it was the fact that some fintechs and the apps, because I love when you pick up the phone and say this is the new tool, are getting so sophisticated, and look at the products that they have, and no wonder the customers are migrating and leaving you. Yes, they have higher cost of funds than you do, but they also have less cost or less operating costs, so they can afford to have higher cost of funds, and whatnot, and it's still being incredibly profitable. And the bad news for us in the industry, or for some in the industry, is that they are only going to get better.
No doubt. Are there any credit unions or any financial institutions who are doing well in the deposit? I know it's a vast minority, but is anybody doing deposits right? And if so, what are they doing that others should be
doing.
Well,
we'd like to say all of our clients are doing that.
Exactly. But the reality check is that we're all kind of in the same boat, no matter who
it
is.
Well, the difference is some are just trying to wait it out. The ones that are actually engaging and growing. There was an article posted by Cross Financial, and it was about dealing with incompetence. And you know, we don't like the idea of incompetence, but if you ever want to learn something, if you ever want to grow, you have to recognize your incompetence in that area.
Yeah.
And what I think is happening is that the people who are saying, you know, we might not be the best, but we're going to grow, we're going to evolve, and we're going to step up. And they're learning every step of the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One thing that I have not talked to you about before that you might really find interesting, we're getting more and more objections from credit unions saying, hey, before we objected just because we didn't think we needed what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're objecting because we're not sure our team can pull it off. We don't think the people we've hired here, the front line, can deliver the results. So at first I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? But Mike, what I've learned to say to them, three things. First is, okay, so you don't think your team can deliver. How have you tested them? What have you done? Yeah. What bar have you set for them? How have you equipped them? How have you empowered them? Because if it's just a hypothesis, what if you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What if they could have done it and you didn't give them the opportunity?
Right, right.
Number two, are you going to leave it that way? If your people can't handle the environment today,
mm-hmm.
you think it's going to get easier?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to start weeding out frontline people that maybe don't have the skill sets necessary for this environment,
yeah.
wouldn't you want to start that now rather than later?
Yeah.
Thirdly, you'll chuckle on this one, is every one of the people who subscribe to our service, we give them a six-month termination option. We'll fix the contract for 3 years if they want to fix our price.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. We're happy to do that.
Yeah.
And we give them a six-month termination.
Wow.
What are we doing? We're betting on their team being able to absorb the strategies and tactics and embrace those things. And like, if I'm betting on it, and I don't even know them, but I know they're probably hired because they're good human beings. Most people who work in a financial institution want to do the right thing mm-hmm. by the mm-hmm. people they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm betting on them. Why wouldn't you bet on them?
Yeah.
And those three things have really helped get over that objection of, I don't think our people can handle it.
Hmm. Anything to add on that one, Boris?
No, kudos to you.
Well, I'm still trying to learn.
No, kudos to you. I mean, like, quite frankly, Becky Reed,
the moderator,
yes. who is the NACUSO board chairperson, she remarked on the issue that we are doing collaboration and how we're trying to, and I really believe that the same way that there is collaboration in the among the credit unions, for us there is also an opportunity to collaborate because we are ultimately part of the same ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You can select to do these different parts discreetly because we are independent companies mm-hmm. and whatnot, but the power of what we do together, mm-hmm. I really think that it is remarkable,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and that we are bringing top banks technology to a smaller players in the
mm-hmm.
industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I invite everyone to take advantage of.
Agreed.
Because I can tell you one thing, those who decide not to change will not be around to see the future.
Yeah, you got that right, for sure. What was the big takeaway from your session? What did you want people to leave with and think about, or actually maybe a call to action or something like that? Neil, what was the big takeaway for you in this discussion?
Well, I think Boris hit on it. The bottom line is we're not going back. The future is forward.
Yeah.
The future has a different take than any time past. You know, some people will say, oh, you remember because I've been in the industry for 40 years. You remember what it was like before. Well, it wasn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I pull out the phone and I said, these didn't exist.
Yeah.
When interest rates were high, these didn't exist.
Yeah.
So the big takeaway of our session, I think, was that you have to price objectively. You've got to get away from the emotion of, well, I can't possibly charge 6.5, 7, 7, 7.5. No, those are numbers that were relevant one day.
Right.
They may not be relevant today,
mm-hmm.
the pricing relevancy. Then the engagement part, that's what we do. How do you get people to negotiate instead of just giving everybody, you know, here's our rate, you want it or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you track the results? And then the whole point of tracking is to take action to correct things that, okay, that worked like we wanted it, but this didn't. How do we keep testing and learning? Test and learn. And that's where Flow Tracker comes in.
Okay.
So yes, Becky seemed impressed that we were working synergistically, because she's like, your companies aren't the same? No, they're three separate companies.
Yeah.
But we see the value in what each
and each one can bring a complementary solution to it, for sure. What's the big takeaway for you, Boris, in that discussion?
I second everything that Neil said, but I also think it is that there is starting to be a realization inside the industry of the importance of understanding member behavior. That deposit is something that it should be considered a strategic asset, and that it should be managed with the view of deepening members' relationship, but also to increase profitability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. And I just found out, I might go down a little bit of a tangent here, but this little company called Robinhood.
Yep.
So I just found out that you can have the money, you can put your money into Robinhood, and the money that you don't invest, you can deposit it there and it'll earn 5%.
Yes.
And I found this out through my brother-in-law just recently, and he's like, why would I have my deposit at my bank or credit union, who's not going to have this interest rate, in a savings account? I mean, a CD or something like that's a whole other story. But I can have it here in Robinhood and earn 5%. And if I want to invest it to earn more, I'll just invest it on Robinhood. So that was a real eye opener for me.
There's another name that you'll recognize right off. Intuit.
Oh yeah.
Quicken.
Yeah.
QuickBooks.
Yeah.
They do the exact same thing.
Do they? Oh my gosh.
So what's happening is all of these entities that have business lines that are not credit unions, but they're like, well, if Fed funds are paying 5.3, we're not going to lose anything. It's a value-added proposition to the service we provide.
Yep.
Why wouldn't we give them that rate?
Yeah.
Yep.
They're not repricing any of their existing books.
Exactly.
And they're like, we'll do it. And so as more and more people become aware of those opportunities, they see it as riskless. Why wouldn't they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the industry is playing catch-up.
Yeah.
We learned over the time, the last 15 years, how to deal with 0.25% Fed funds. We had to. But now what's happened is basically our cost of funds was right with Fed funds. Now the industry's cost of funds is way below Fed funds.
Mm-hmm.
Fed funds are 5.30, and our cost of funds is more like 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
The competitors are saying, we'll eat your lunch. We'll take, whether it be Robinhood or
somebody else.
They're saying, if you're only going to pay 2.5, and we can get 5.3, we're happy to take it.
Guess who's coming to us, for sure, consumers.
I'm going to throw one more name on that,
please do.
In that list, and it's Block. Block came from Square.
Mm-hmm.
The person behind Square is Jack Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that he has a very good track record in business.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that
he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right, exactly. The fact that he has put his eyes on banking, and particularly banking products with Block.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it tells you that if you, and I think that it was that you brought this example, when you said with the phone, he said you used to think that the competitor was the bank in the corner in your market area.
Yeah.
No, your competitor is the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have to come after ex-depositors, are they going to target first the Wells Fargo or the Citibanks?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to target people that have lost less flexibility?
Yeah.
Because I also want to remind you that the amount of funds, the concentration of deposits in the industry have changed dramatically. Big banks in the early 90s or whatnot, they had about 24% of the market. Today they have 60% of the market.
Wow.
So just leave it there.
Yeah.
But it's hard to absorb.
Let that one simmer for a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing that piggybacks on that, Mike, is that if you go to the FDIC website, they do a quarterly report of large banks, small banks, medium-sized banks. What occurred for about 15 years is the largest banks had the lowest cost of funds, significantly lower. It's completely flipped. the large banks have the highest cost of funds today.
Oh my gosh.
This is that part I just talked about. The large banks are paying about 2.5% on cost of funds.
Yeah, yeah.
Small community banks, 1.5.
Oh.
Guess what's happening to the funds?
That's why.
They're moving out of these small banks.
Yeah.
And the small banks are saying, hey, but my victory is I have a low cost of funds. Well, that would be true if Fed funds were paying like 2, but Fed funds are paying 5.3 effective rate.
Yeah.
So what's happening is they're giving up those profits to the big banks who are going, well, I'll take your money.
Yeah, no
doubt.
If you
don't want it.
No doubt.
So the dynamic is something you would think we would be on top of because we're studying all this stuff. But when you actually look at the data, you're like, oh no, we're glorifying a low cost of funds when what we really should be doing is say, how do we serve more people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The more people we serve, the more opportunity we have to grow our business.
Yeah.
And to really reward the shareholders, the stakeholders, the members of
our organization. So is that the way a credit union can compete with this type of stuff? Or
Would
they just raise their...
You don't want to be the high rate, but you don't want to be the lowest rate.
Okay.
And have atrophy, attrition of your depositors.
Yeah.
And that's the art of this. See, for so many years, paying interest was like a fool's bet. Like, why would I pay interest when I don't need to? And so everybody who tried to win with interest rate, they were going backwards. They were overpaying.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened is that game changed. And now, when you pay 3% for funds, and Fed funds are 5.30, that's not a fool.
Not at all.
Thing.
Not at all.
But you have to pick your spots because you can't pay everybody the highest rate, but you can pay some.
Yeah.
And that's the art.
Yeah, I got you. Finding that sweet spot in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like everything in life, it's timing.
No doubt. All right, guys, I could talk about this stuff all day long, and I know you guys got stuff to do, and I don't want to keep it too long, but
thank you.
Appreciate your time
as
always.
You.
Anything else to add to wrap up, Boris? Any final thoughts here?
My final thought is if you're going to pay attention to your member behavior, because if you want to avoid or determine if it is worth it to increase your cost of funds to match a market and whatnot, see the way that your members are behaving, and that is going to tell you ultimately. And Neil, I hate to be referring to you all the time like that, but Neil had a very good in his incredible wisdom, he divided the behavior of the members into rate shoppers, sleepers, and I can't remember.
Curious.
I'm curious, and I'm going to start using that a lot because I really believe that is the case. You have to start differentiating who are the curious, who are the sleepers, who are the rate shoppers, and you cannot try to treat them all the same way.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, Neil.
My last thought is a response from one of the people who attended our session. Came up and he said, you know, for the last 15 years, we spent a whole bunch of money on payments and lending systems. We invested in all of those things.
Yeah.
We've spent time, energy, value, but we just ignored this. This whole area of deposits sits in the same position it did 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's time for us to invest in our people, our technology, our capacity to help depositors.
Yep. Well said.
I can't say it better than that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. Great message to end on. Guys, thank you so much again. As always, the insights are priceless here. Pardon the pun. So, yeah.
Pleasure to see you again. Cheers.
It's always great.
Likewise.
Neil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSU Co-op Solutions, Tricen, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU NextGen.
Quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible.